on this Pentecost Sunday, that is our prayer, that the Spirit of the living God would indeed fall fresh on each one of us. On this Pentecost Sunday, our focus for the sermon is a spiritual discipline. We continue to listen to Jesus as he teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount. I invite you to hear his words, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, as we continue thinking about intentional discipleship, becoming God's people, and this morning we think about becoming a fasting person. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. So Jesus now comes to the third major practice or discipline or action, we might say, describing to his disciples and to us what it means to be a faithful person. So far, Jesus has talked about almsgiving, giving money to the poor, to the needy. And last week, we listened as Jesus, or 2 weeks ago, we listened as Jesus talked about prayer. In both of these acts, Jesus began by telling us, both in almsgiving and prayer, how we should not do these things before then proceeding to tell us a better way. And both times, Jesus says, when we do these faithful acts, we should not do them for the recognition of other people, but instead we should do them for the glory and honor of God. His words are echoed in Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. This is my summary of Paul's words. He says, "A person is not faithful if he or she only is one outwardly." No, a person, Paul says, is faithful if he or she is faithful inwardly in matters of the heart and of the spirit. Such a person's praise does not come from other people, Paul says, but only from God. That is the message Jesus has been giving in the Sermon on the Mount as he talks about almsgiving and prayer. It is what happens inwardly, Jesus says, that is important to God. So this morning, we come to fasting. It's probably not a great topic for Memorial Day weekend when we have cookouts and meals planned for the weekend, but it's where we are as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. In addition, fasting is probably the least familiar of these three faithful acts that Jesus has been describing. We are probably much more familiar with giving and much more familiar with prayer than we are with fasting. And yet, Jesus expects his followers to fast. Remember, in these words, Jesus does not say, "If you fast." He says, "When you fast, do it this way, do it that way." Jesus does not say if you decide to fast or if you should want to fast, but when you fast. It is a clear expectation that his followers will in some way, form, or fashion practice this spiritual discipline. So what does it mean for us today? Do you fast? Is it part of your spiritual discipline? What can we take from this teaching? Well, I think to truly understand what Jesus is talking about here, we need to understand fasting in the context of the day and age of Jesus. In Jesus' day, there was only one official fast for the Jewish people during the course of the year. It was on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. On this particular day, eating, drinking, and even bathing were strictly prohibited for the faithful people of Israel. The Day of Atonement was a sacred day, a holy day, and all faithful people were required to observe this day by sacrificing some of the normal, everyday, routine parts of life. The Day of Atonement was a time of spiritual cleansing and fasting, going without food, going without drink, going without bathing and caring for oneself. These things were central components of practicing the spiritual life on this holiest day of the year. But that was not the only day people fasted. It was the only day people practiced fasting as an entire nation. But people fasted on other days. Some synagogues practiced fasting as a part of worship for those who came to that particular synagogue. Fasting was a way of connecting themselves to the presence of God. It was connected to penance or offering atonement for their sins. And so people prayed and they fasted to seek God's favor. It was believed in the day of Jesus that if one fasted, then the particular difficult situation that the person was facing might go more smoothly. You may remember a few places in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, where the armies of Israel would fast before battle. They were seeking God's favor, God's approval, God's support. In this way, fasting means showing devotion and commitment to God during the difficult times of life. It was showing that one was seeking God's presence, God's guidance, and God's direction. It was a means of worship. There were other times in individuals' lives in which they fasted as well. For example, an individual or family might be dealing with a particular need, maybe at a time of death, for example. It was common for people to practice a fast as a way of mourning, as a way of grieving, as a way of seeking God's presence to console them during the difficult moments of life. People participated in a fast to demonstrate their loyalty and their faithfulness to God at specific moments and times in their lives. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that when a person fasted in Jesus' day and age, it was very common. In fact, almost always, the person would disfigure himself or herself so that others would know that they were fasting. In other words, they would change their appearance. Their appearance would be noticeably different. The people around them would know this person is fasting. How? Well, instead of wearing their normal clothes, they would wear sackcloth. We might say rags. They would put on old, tattered rags as clothing, sackcloth, so that everyone would know by their clothing, this person is fasting. In addition, the person would take ashes and rub ashes over their face and maybe over their arms or hands or the exposed areas of their body. This is such the phrase, sackcloth and ashes. The sackcloth and the ashes were these outward and visible signs to the people around them that this person is fasting. This person is seeking God's favor. This person is seeking to be a part of God's guidance and direction for his or her life. He or she is fasting. And people who saw this individual recognized this spiritual act. But here, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says very clearly, listen, I know the practices of fasting in our communities. I know how people do it. I know that people put sackcloth and ashes on so that others will know they are fasting. But I have a new and a different teaching for you. Jesus says, If you fast, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces, showing everyone that they're fasting. But I tell you, they have already received their reward from the people around them. Do not disfigure yourself. In other words, do not let others know that you are fasting. Jesus once again uses that Greek word hypocrites, hypocrite, actor. He says the people who do this many times, they're not really interested in seeking God's presence. They're not really interested in discovering God's plan and purpose for their life. It's a show to the people around them. They simply want praise and respect from other people around them, and they're much more interested in that than they are in truly hearing from God. Not so with you, Jesus says. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that no one will know you're fasting, only God. And believe me, Jesus says, God will see what you are doing, and God will know why you are doing it, and God will bless you because you will be truly seeking to honor and worship God instead of seeking the praise and respect of others. Jesus says, this is how you are to fast. Well, what do we take away from this today? What might we learn? This teaching suggests that there is a good way for us to fast. It's a way in which Jesus actually expects his followers will practice. Now, we may not think much about fasting today, as we have said earlier. In our culture today, there are fewer and fewer Christians who actually practice fasting for spiritual reasons. I will confess that I have fasted several times in my life, but fasting is not, for me, an ordinary, normal, customary spiritual discipline in my life. It's not something I commit to on a regular basis. I imagine the same is true for many of you. And yet, the reality is, there are many good reasons why fasting is an excellent spiritual discipline. And while it's often considered fasting is from food or drink, there are many ways that we can incorporate this practice into our lives today. I want to invite you to think with me this morning about some of the benefits we might actually receive if we practice this spiritual discipline. Number one, in terms of fasting from food, fasting can be good for our physical health. Though this is never the primary reason, if we're fasting for spiritual purposes, the health benefits can be secondary benefits. Logan read just a few moments ago about Daniel. When Daniel was fasting, he had this incredible vision from God that came to him. That was most important. But even as Daniel fasted, we're reminded of another time in his life when he fasted and had incredible physical benefits from that fast. The same can be true for us. Many, many people today live sedentary lives, and fasting does not have to be long, extended periods of time of going without food. It could simply be skipping a meal. It could be passing on dessert. Doing without something you would enjoy for spiritual purposes is fasting. And a secondary benefit could be physical health for all of us. But even more importantly, fasting promotes self-discipline. It is so easy in our culture today to become almost completely self-indulgent. As a society today, we have so much wealth. We have so much access to whatever it is we need and want. Many people today deny themselves almost nothing. The idea is, if we have the time and we have the financial resources, then buy it. Do it. Why not? The problem is, as Christians, we are called to be self-disciplined people. I would submit to you this morning, just because we can do something, just because we can have something, does not mean that we need to have or to do that thing. Fasting promotes self-discipline in our lives, and many Christians today would benefit from resisting the temptation to make our wishes and our desires our masters instead of exercising self-discipline in the areas of things like consumption, food, financial purposes, etc. Fasting promotes self-discipline. On a related note, fasting keeps us from becoming slaves to habit. Many people today indulge in certain habits because we find it next to impossible to stop them. The habits have taken over our lives, and what happens then is these habits become so essential to us that we cannot break them. We think in our minds we cannot live without them. We develop such a craving for certain things. Instead of these things being pleasurable, they become necessities for us. We can't even imagine going a day without having these particular habits or activities or events or things in our lives. But if we practice fasting, then no pleasure becomes a chain around our neck. No habit becomes our master. Instead, we allow the Holy Spirit to control us and lead us and guide us rather than be led by these things that have become our masters. Fasting then also reminds us that we can do without things. One of the greatest tests of any person's life is the number of things which we have come to regard as essential. And clearly, the fewer things we regard as essential, the more independent we will be in our lives, the more we can rely upon and trust in God instead of the things of our lives. When things become essentials for us, we are at the mercy of these luxuries. Refraining from buying something is a form of fasting. It is consumeristic fasting. When we refrain from buying something that we could have, we remind ourselves that we can do without things in life, that true living is not wrapped up in what we have, but in who we are. Fasting gives us the ability to do without things that are truly not essentials for us. And then fasting makes us appreciate the things that we do have. There's an old saying in terms of relationships, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I believe that is true not only in relationships, but it's true in every area of life. Anything we seldom get to do, we truly enjoy that thing when we are able to do it on rare occasions. Maybe there was a time in your life when some particular event, some particular activity, some particular thing that you did it so seldomly that when you did it, you truly enjoyed it, and it was such a high moment for you. But maybe now that same thing has become so common, so every day, that we are blunted to the excitement of life. The edge has come off of those things that used to give such meaning to us. Fasting is a way that keeps the thrill in life. It is a way that we continue to enjoy those things that don't have to be everyday or every week activities for us, but become pleasurable because they are not so common. But then, of course, this morning, the greatest blessing from fasting is clear from Jesus. All of the things I've mentioned are blessings, but they're secondary. They are secondary to this truth. fasting, whether from food or things or activities or whatever it might be in our lives, fasting from that which might be pleasurable for us is a way to grow closer to God. When Daniel fasted, he had a vision, and this vision was overpowering to him. And it's a vision that would not have been given to him other than his faithfulness to seek God's will and God's presence through this time in his life. But this vision, this presence of God, was given as a gift because of his willingness to sacrifice the things of life and to truly seek God. When we fast as a spiritual discipline, we learn, like all of those who have gone before us, to rely on God rather than to rely on things that we so often take for granted in life. We realize all the things in our lives, we just assume they will always be there for us. We remember that it is God. It is God who gives us life, not the food we eat, not the things we have, not the clothes we wear, not the homes we live in, not the activities that we get to do. It is God who gives us life. Fasting, Jesus says, focuses our attention on our relationship with God, not on the things of this world. My friends, in our culture today, fasting, whether it be from food or the materialism of life, has been abandoned by so many Christians, so many of us. Maybe as we listen to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we need to seek ways to incorporate this spiritual discipline into our lives. Maybe we need more fasting today. Maybe we need fasting more today than ever before in the history of the world. Maybe we need to fast from food. Maybe we need to fast from materialism and consumerism. Maybe we need to fast from television. Maybe we need to fast from harmful habits that preoccupy our minds. Maybe we need to fast from attitudes and behaviors that are contrary to the way that Christ would have us to live. See, if we listen to our society says, you don't want to do without, and if you don't have to do without, why should you? But Jesus reminds us there are such tremendous benefits to the life of faith for those Christians who courageously endorse and practice the spiritual discipline of fasting. Jesus, for his disciples, condemned the wrong kind of fasting. But he never meant fasting should completely be eliminated from the life of faith. We would do well to practice fasting in our own way, according to the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit that is our gift on this Pentecost Sunday. We can do as the poet says. We can fast so the earth's bliss may be our guide and not our chain. So in the words of Jesus, when you fast, do so for God, who is unseen, and God who is and who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let us pray. Oh God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded that we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. But sometimes our blessings overflow and our blessings begin to crowd in on our spiritual lives and they consume us. Lord, help us to always seek you, to discover ways that we might do without, so that we might truly rely upon and trust in you. So, Lord, lead us and guide us in these ways, we pray, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.